Hello, 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 guys. This is DJ Bafana here. Bringing you this podcast, and on it, I will be discussing and focusing on mental health during this Mental Health Awareness Month. So, just to give you a highlight. I have been incorrectly diagnosed with an illness that I don't have. So I lived with it for plus minus 6.5 years. All this was well orchestrated. So I'll take you through everything that happened there. So it involves more than just a mental illness. However, I'll just, for purposes of this podcast, I'll only focus on the part of mental wellness or the mental illness itself and how it affected my life as DJ Bafana. All right, so here goes. I will take it back from 2013. So in 2013, when I was working for African Bank at their head office in Midrand, 16th Road, I was part of their treasury department, working specifically on the savings and investments product. So when they launched it, I was the first person under the project. Okay, so I remember on a specific day, I started having strange thoughts running through my mind. So it was explicit thoughts about an elderly lady in the office. So I couldn't honestly explain as to where these thoughts are coming from and why exactly I'm having these thoughts. But I was having these thoughts. So they troubled me to such a point where I felt like, you know what, I just need a break. And I left the office quickly to take a break, get some fresh air for a couple of minutes, and then I went back. Okay. Now, these thoughts continued happening, and some more thoughts would come by. Thoughts I couldn't honestly explain as to what exactly is this happening. And so, I think it was the following week or 2 weeks afterwards, because I wanted to observe and monitor what's exactly happening with me. But when I could see that, okay, they are continuing, and I couldn't explain what was exactly happening with me, I felt, you know what, let me rather go to a hospital or a health facility and consult. So I went, a psychiatrist saw me and he admitted me. The psychiatrist's name is Dr. Mvuyiso Tlalatlala. He's a former Psychiatry SA president. I think he's also a lecturer at Wits, also practicing in the public sector. So, the doctor admitted me. It was a weekend, and in the following week after admitting me, he then obviously he consulted with me. We had a discussion, lengthy discussion, where he would ask a lot of questions in order for him to obviously get to understand fully what I'm going through. Okay, I told him exactly what was happening with the lady that I have these explicit thoughts about this lady, almost as if I have lust, I'm experiencing lust towards her, of which there was nothing like that from my side. But the thoughts continued. And it wasn't only her, with other females as well. Females I didn't find attractive, but I had these thoughts. So I couldn't really explain what was happening. So it means there was a certain force behind these thoughts, but I didn't know. And didn't even understand exactly what was happening with me. So, at the end of the meeting or the discussion, the psychiatrist, then explained to me to say, you know what, what you are going through is a condition called. In fact, what he did, he didn't explain it exactly during that or immediately after that meeting. He took me to X-rays. I think he booked me for X-rays, if I could remember well. During the course of that week, later or the following week, I went and did X-ray scans, and after that X-ray, it was on the document that he confirmed that it was mild atrophy because there was a shrinking of the brain, of which I also suspect that's not the case. I suspect that the results of the X-ray scan were docked. And even his opinion to say that I had mild atrophy was docked. So now, what transpired there afterwards, in fact, is I stayed for, I think it was 4 to 5 days being admitted, and I stayed home for leave, sick leave, plus minus a month. And during that month, imagine I received calls from some of my colleagues to say that my boss, my reporting line, was contemplating firing me. Now I had to find a way to stop that from happening. I mean, things that mentally ill people get faced with. You understand? You are in a situation where you are dealing with your sickness or perceived sickness. Now, your boss in the office wants to fire you. If I then reveal to the boss the full extent of my medical condition, trust you me, this condition, which is mild atrophy, was classified by the doctor as a mental handicap. So I was mentally handicapped from that point onwards. Now imagine me revealing to my boss that I am mentally handicapped. What would that then do? Obviously, the business would say, you know what, we cannot accommodate you. This is a highly pressurized environment. So, unfortunately, we would need to lay you off. Even if they would have given me some sort of a payment to leave or to stop working because of the condition. Still, that would be me losing a job, let alone the income, but the experience that I would have gained. The doctor himself said to me, you know what, I will talk to them, I'll find a way around it. He sent them a letter, just tiptoeing around that issue to say that I have a mental handicap. He didn't want to me, he explained that he didn't want to reveal to them. Now, all of them were in on this. The other side, which is the business, knew what was happening that side. The doctor told me that he will then tiptoe around it, find a way to cover for me. You understand? Now I'm the one in the dark. I knew nothing and I followed the doctor's orders. Like, obviously, the guy who's in the dark, not knowing anything. So I continued with that. I did monthly consultations with the doctor. I ordered my medication from his prescription. And all of that, I mean, the medication I took was just over 1,000 rand. Imagine. Pills over 1,000 each and every month. That's expensive. That is expensive. Trust you. Even the medical doctor will tell you that they are expensive. I took those till for about 5 years, plus minus 5 years. I think a generic was developed, and it came into the market around 2017, 2018. There, the generic came at a fraction of the original. A fraction of the cost of the original. So I think it was around just under 500. It was around 300, 400 there. I already, like, it was a bit too late for me because I already parted with so much money. I mean, during the 5 years that I was on the original. And imagine I was classified or categorized as a chronic patient. Imagine me being a chronic patient. My medical aide knows that I was a chronic patient. Imagine what that did to my psyche, to my mental state, to my self-esteem. I mean, I thought of myself or perceived myself as this guy who was mentally handicapped, as this guy who had a brain that was shrinking, as this guy who, I mean, could die at any moment because the doctor told me the situation was severe. And if I had this illness at such a young age, it was very serious. And when I did my research earlier this year, or now during the lockdown, it's true. If you, as a youngster, I mean, I was diagnosed, when I was diagnosed, I was around 23, 24. At that age, if you have this illness, trust you me, there's a serious problem with you. Because this sickness normally is encountered by elderly people. It's a natural state that they encounter when they become of age. Now, I am a 23, 24-year-old encountering this illness. It played a lot with my mind and it affected me very negatively because I used to sit here in the house by myself and be sulking and feel and go through feelings and emotions of self-pity, thinking, you know what, I'm worthless, I have this sickness, I might die at any moment. I'm not good enough for good opportunities. I even left my passion, which is DJing. I left it for just over 2 years. But because, you know, I am a rebel and I'm a diehard, I went back. After just over 2 years, I went back. But still, this illness played with my mind because I would take a day off each and every month to go see the doctor, to go consult. And I went for the medication and all of those things. So it affected me, it affected my self-esteem very negatively. It did. So I honestly understand what people who honestly have it, who have been diagnosed and who honestly have it, feel like. To say that people who are mentally handicapped or mentally disturbed are perceived or are even treated by the public and their family members. Let me just say, they are treated by others with this feeling of an attitude of pity and an attitude of patronization. So people patronize you like to a point where whenever they interact with you, they just make you feel like, you know what, you are this person who needs special attention. You can't provide for yourself. You are not good enough for certain opportunities. You just need to be spoon-fed and carried around. You are not good enough. But why? You understand? Why is it that a person who is mentally ill would then be treated as a special case? I mean, if it gets to a point that you experience dementia or Alzheimer's, I would understand. That's now severe. But if it's still at an infant stage, you can still perform your duties, you can still hang around your friends, you can still execute your duties in a work environment, and you can be around others in public. Why then would another person treat you as a special case? Even the doctor said, you know what, your situation is not severe. You are as good as any other person. But the public out there made a mockery of me. They made fun of me, even my family members. They would then tell me that I lost my mind, meaning I was mentally unstable, I was crazy. The public told me exactly that I was crazy. You understand? It was only during this year that I discovered, you know what? I am not crazy. I don't have this illness. I was never a cro I didn't deserve to be under that chronic list. I didn't deserve to be admitted into hospital twice. I don't deserve to be called crazy. I am not crazy. I was never crazy. I didn't need to be on medication. And I didn't need to be treated as a special case. I mean, I lost out on life cover, on taking out life cover. I lost out on some opportunities because of this illness, or perceived illness rather. And when I confronted this doctor earlier this year, I think it was a few months ago, he still was of the view that I do or I still have this illness. Trust you me, I was adamant and furiously so. I told him I do not have this illness because I conducted research online to say if someone has Alzheimer's, what exactly do they go through? So let me break it down for you. Or if someone has atrophy, what exactly is it that they go through? What are the symptoms and what are the consequences? And medically, how do they spot the symptoms? So here goes. With atrophy, right? There is three stages. There is the pre-clinical, there is the clinical, and the post-clinical. So at pre-clinical, because it happens when you enter that elderly stage. So what normally happens is it would be people who are normally around you. It would be your loved ones or your friends or your colleagues or you whoever you hang around with on a frequent basis. So those individuals or those people would then notice that, you know what, you are losing you are starting to show signs of maybe forgetting. Slowly but surely, they would observe this to say, okay, maybe my aunt or my grandfather or my grandmother is slowly losing their mind because they are forgetful. They would observe it and then maybe they would start taking you to a doctor or a psychiatrist. The psychiatrist would then need to also observe you to say, okay, maybe you might start be experiencing these moments of forgetting. It's natural that a person of age starts experiencing them. Let us observe over some time. When the situation or the condition then worsens and eventually gets to a point where the doctor, the signs or the symptoms are, if for lack of a better word, they are fully blown, right? Or they are frequent or serious, they get too severe. Then the doctor would diagnose. Because now it's fully evident that you are experiencing atrophy, right? Because atrophy is a very severe mental condition where your cognitive abilities, meaning your ability of being aware of your being and your surroundings, your mental state is affected negatively. So when the symptoms are evident, the doctor would then need to diagnose. When they diagnose, that stage is called the clinical stage. They have to treat it. The doctor has to treat it now. And post-clinical, which is the next stage, would be whereby they also the patient experiences the patient would experience after effects. Now, the after effects would be dementia. Dementia would be being forgetful. So now you so, something would happen, let's say yesterday or last night, you would forget. Something would happen 2 hours ago, you would forget. And Alzheimer's is sort of like being fidgety, someone who is not able to focus. You understand? And there would be fidgety, and you would notice it that, okay, this person is sort of like not in a good state, and they're unable to get a grip of themselves, they can't focus. It's a condition where any other person can witness or will be able to witness to say, yes, this person cannot focus and they are unstable mentally. So when it gets to that point, the doctor would then obviously address it with the necessary steps. So with me, in my life, I can still remember things that happened in 1999, 1997. I can still remember. You understand? So which begs me to question exactly why is it that I was diagnosed with this condition called mild atrophy? Because I am able to remember even my driving. I was able to recap on my driving, and I am driving now. My DJing, I was able to go back into my passion, which is music and DJing, and I still remembered how to DJ. I just needed to recap. You can ask me now what happened in 2010. I will tell you, I will gladly tell you that it was during the World Cup. I was working for Telkom during the World Cup. And I went to Ellis Park Stadium, FNB Stadium. I worked in those two stadiums. I met politicians. I met great people there. I was there during certain games, all of that. I left at night and went home via the Rea Vaya transit. I still remember everything. I remember it was my mother's, it was just during the time when my mother passed away. We were busy with preparations for her funeral. And even her funeral, I can tell you what transpired. How is it that I still have a very clear memory? But I was diagnosed with atrophy. And why is it that now, at this present moment, I am not experiencing dementia or even Alzheimer's? Why is that so? But I am a person who is diagnosed with atrophy. And why is it that I was not put on a preclinical stage? Why is that? Why is it that medical practitioners who saw me or who I would consult with, like my medical practitioner, Dr. Molaudze, why is it that he did not indicate that, you know what, you need to see as a psychiatrist because I have observed that you are experiencing these thoughts of forgetfulness, or I'm seeing something very strange with your mental capacity or your brain or whatever. I can tell you right now that I churn out or I develop so many ideas, so many concepts. You know, when I even told him that I, or when he saw reports that I am experienced or I have been diagnosed with mild atrophy, he was shocked. He was shocked. He couldn't believe that someone like me at this age had mild atrophy. He was like shocked. And I could see it in his face and his expression that, you know what, this is serious. And I've been continuing my life as normal. When the doctor asked me a number of questions, do you have a family? Do you have a partner? Do you have this or that? I told him, when he asked me that, this is my psychiatrist now, when he asked me that, are you experiencing feelings or thoughts of or emotions of suicide? Do you want to commit suicide? I told him, never, never. You understand? But I can tell you, I was admitted this year twice at South Rand Hospital at their mental wellness ward. The report I received from there said that, without even a consultation with that specific doctor, the report said that I was suicidal. So that doctor was could see through me without even was psychic, if I may put it that way. That doctor was psychic, that psychiatrist was psychic. How possible is that? Without even consulting with me. So these are all the challenges that are mentally handicapped patients and individuals in society are facing. You are treated as a special case, and you get to experience so much stuff out there. People make decisions on your behalf. I mean, police came in here and forced me, manhandled me with, obviously, they were accompanying paramedics and took me to hospital without my consent. I mean, the law of the country, which is the constitution, right, affords me the right to decline medical attention from paramedics or medical professionals. If I don't want to be treated, I can safely say I don't want to. I refuse your medical attention. At that point, the SAPS officers and the medical practitioners, like the paramedics and the doctors there, they breached their rights, and they offended my rights as a citizen of this country. Well, as to what I'm gonna do about that, at a later stage, guys. I can't reveal that for now. We're just dealing with the podcast and the unfortunate behavior and the stigma that is perpetrated, and the injustices that are perpetrated against mentally unstable and mentally handicapped individuals in society. It's such a shame. It is such a shame. Right now, I mean, I'm unemployed. I'm not complaining about that. I prefer to be to refer myself as or to see myself as self-employed, because I run my own businesses now from home. I couldn't have it any other way. I'm so happy right now. But the main point is there are people who lose their jobs genuinely because of having a mental illness. Other companies out there or corporates do not understand what mental illness entails, or different mental illnesses. Others are not severe, whereby you can still accommodate such a person. But will you find other companies that would then take serious steps against an individual who has been identified as maybe a chronic patient or a mentally unstable patient? They do not take steps to accommodate them. I mean, there is different companies have wellness programs within them that they can refer the employee to. They have their own doctors that they can refer the employee to. But these companies then find a loophole to then do away with such an employee. Society in itself then stigmatizes such a person. They make the person feel unwanted in society. You tend to ask yourself, if the rest of the society is treating you in a manner that indicates that, you know what, you are not welcomed amongst them, what if it happens to one of them? How would they feel? How they feel when their family members also experience a mental illness? How would they feel? As the audience out there, I'm sure you have someone you know who is experiencing mental illness out there. Someone might have experienced a crash or a traumatic experience, like maybe a train driver who ran through a certain person who wanted to kill themselves. You find people who go to train tracks out there and just wait for a train to pass because they want to commit suicide. The train then smashes them. That person dies. The train driver then goes through such experiences. They experience trauma and they have to go and see a psychiatrist or go into and be admitted into a mental wellness ward. Someone gets raped. They need to see a psychiatrist or even a psychologist or both to get through their experiences because they can't handle it mentally. And we know that rape is, well, you know, it's unfortunate that ladies have to go through this. Someone else may go through a different experience as well that would require them to consult a psychiatrist or a psychologist. People do not understand. I mean, I also consulted a psychologist. Psychologist said that I do not have a problem. I wanted to continue consultations after the initial ones. The psychologist said, no. You are perfectly fine. You don't deserve to be here. So if a learned professional, medical professional, tells me you are perfectly fine, who are you as a member of the public who is not learned as the medical practitioner? Who are you to tell me that I am crazy? Who are you to then self-diagnose me without the qualifications and the powers of a medical practitioner, without the experience of the medical practitioner? And also, who have you been consulting with? Who have you been talking to even say that I am crazy? Did you have access to my medical records? You understand? And also, what gives you the right to even go and gossip to, or even gossip with your friends or neighbors out there to discuss my medical condition? And for so long, I mean, people have been discussing my medical condition, even young ones out there. Young ones as young as like 4 or 5 year olds. They know that DJ Bafana is crazy. DJ Bafana is crazy. DJ Bafana is a lunatic. He's a crazy person. From where they get that, I don't know. Because I even asked the doctor, the psychiatrist, have you been discussing my medical condition with anyone? Because he's not allowed to. Doctor-patient confidentiality. He's not allowed to. You understand? But now, that is not the crux of the matter. The crux of the matter is how society deals with a mentally unstable person or someone who is experiencing any mental illness out there. Why, as a society, do we stigmatize mental illness? You even find your own family doing such. Why is that so? Hey? I mean, it was tough for me to deal with society and even colleagues who perceived me as a crazy person. It was very tough for me to always explain to people, explain myself to say, I am not crazy. I am not going through all of these things. But on the other hand, I would also get flashbacks of, you know what, the doctor diagnosed you. So I would resort to just leaving the, letting the matter slide. I would then let the people continue to refer to me as a crazy person and all of that, because I didn't understand what I was going through. I didn't understand that, you know what, this is not the case, eh? And with me, it has brought about a certain realization to say, if it happened with me for so long and it was so well orchestrated, the doctor was in on it, the psychiatrist and the X-ray personnel as well. It means medical facilities out there are incorrectly diagnosing a lot of people out there, and intentionally, just to make money. Because if I am diagnosed, it means I have to be on the watch of the doctor. I have to consult, I have to take medication, all of those things the doctor charges for. I mean, that is unethical, guys. That is unprofessional. And that is fraud. That is medical fraud. The doctor committed medical fraud. You understand? And he is a well established doctor. He is well known out there. He is well known, trust you me. And then he did something like this. Well, to me, it brings about also this realization to say that society as well is unfair. Society is very unfair. Because I went through all of these emotions, I went through all of these experiences by myself. Imagine your own family calling you names, saying you are crazy, you must take medication, you must do all of these things, without even understanding you or listening to what you have to say. Imagine, at this present moment, I do not want to be associated with my family or any of the people in my township or in my area because of what I went through. I do not want to be seen with my family. I do not want to be seen with the people that live in my community here. Because like, wow, eh? If they could do that to me, all these years, I honestly don't want them in my life. I want my life to be very peaceful. You understand? I want to live a normal life like any other person out there. I do not want to be surrounded by any of these people. Why do you allow such to happen, and why is it that you take it and then distribute this via word of mouth to people to say he is crazy, he is unstable, and all of those things without questioning or trying to understand the situation? Mentally unstable people, mentally ill patients go through the worst out there, and it's so unfortunate. To a point where the medication you take will even render you unstable eventually. Because you will be sedated. You understand? You will be sedated and you will need a caretaker who will make decisions on your behalf. Because you would have been incapacitated mentally. So you can't make decisions on your own. That's what they wanted to do with me, to say that I am incapacitated and as such, I need someone to take care of me. I am unable to make decisions on my own and I am a danger to society. That's what they wanted to do with me. Fact of the matter is that's what they were aiming for. Now, because I am a very stubborn person, I'm very stubborn. Let me tell you that part about me. I'm very stubborn. Eh? If I believe in something and I know that something is a lie and I want to prove my innocence, I want to prove my side of the story, I will not stop at anything to ensure that my side is heard. I went and saw the doctor a few months ago. I had a meeting, I recorded it, and I can safely tell you, I told him where to get off. I told him straight in his face, I do not have this illness. I mean, right, if I had this illness right now, I would have been experiencing dementia like I stated earlier, or Alzheimer's. None of those is happening to me. I am perfectly sane. You can ask people that I work with, people that I normally hang around with, they will tell you, I'm even driving my own car right now. If I was mentally unstable, how possible would it be that I drive my own car? You tell me, how possible is it that I'm able to conduct business if I was mentally unstable? How is it that I develop such brilliant ideas and concepts. How is that possible? But I am. I talk to great people. I do great things. But people out there are busy selling this facade that I am mentally unstable. To a point where SAPS came to my house with paramedics on the instruction of my family members to say that I am a danger to them. I am talking to myself. I am doing that. Guys, there is hallucinations and then there is self-talk. You get into a supermarket. You want to make a purchasing decision. You talk to yourself to say, but do I need this? Do I need that? You are all alone by yourself. You experience certain thoughts. Then you are going through them externally. You are verbalizing your thoughts, externalizing your thoughts. You understand? Hallucinations involves deceiving yourself. Whatever you are going through, thoughts or emotions, you are deceiving yourself. Something that is a lie or untrue or even not possible out there. And maybe possibly harmful. That's hallucination, something that is not real. Those are hallucinations. If I'm talking to, engaging in self-talk to say, you know what, I want to be the biggest DJ in South Africa. I want to be the biggest DJ in the world. And this is my plan of getting there. Am I hallucinating or am I engaging in self-talk? That is self-talk, my friends. All the things that I planned through self-talk are materializing. They are manifesting right now. I am one of the biggest brands in South Africa, one of the biggest DJ brands in South Africa at the current moment. One of the biggest DJ brands in the Amapiano scene right now. I'm the biggest, I am like the Amapiano ambassador right now, out of Soweto. I am pushing Amapiano in different parts of the country. You tell me if I'm crazy. You tell me. You go and Google DJ Bafana. And then you tell me, you go through my social media platforms. You tell me, a person of such a caliber and such capacity, how is it possible that they are perceived as mentally unstable, crazy, and delusional? You tell me. I mean, I am even a motivational speaker. I started my public speaking career earlier this year. Went to a number of schools and motivated learners there. You tell me, how possible is it that I am mentally unstable? You tell me. These are the experiences that mentally unstable people go through. Like, I honestly feel for them, guys. And I will honestly adopt one charitable organization that will work with my my NPO. So that charitable organization would be addressing mental wellness. So I will adopt one and start working with them, because I fully understand what they have to go through on a daily out there. I mean, I went to facilities like Lilian Ngoyi Hospital here in Soweto, where patients from Sterkfontein consult as well. I went to the psychiatry office at Pimville Clinic. I saw a psychiatrist in Lesedi Clinic, which is now called the Clinics Health Facility in Diepkloof, Soweto. I went to Southrand Hospital, their mental wellness ward. I was admitted in 2013 for almost a week. I was admitted in 2015 for almost a week. This year, I was admitted twice. I received a medical report saying that I experienced emotions or feelings of suicide or thoughts of suicide. I wanted to commit suicide. I had suicidal thoughts. Imagine when I told my psychiatrist that, trust me, life is too good. Life is too sweet for me to even think about suicide. I am enjoying life. But a medical practitioner who didn't even question me or consult with me to try and find out how I was doing, then wrote a report saying I had suicidal thoughts. You tell me, if they could do that to me, how many people are they doing it to out there? You tell me. Remember, life is a demeaning. You tell me. Remember that. Remember what transpired there. Now, also, check my situation. Like, I can't believe government staff, like police officers in their uniform, came and manhandled me. They were outside of their boundaries. They acted illegally, guys. They acted illegally. They were not supposed to even enter my house in the first place, because this was reportedly a health matter. It's not a criminal matter. There's no violence being committed here. So they had no place. So these are the things that mentally handicapped individuals go through, guys. So my pledge is I will work, I will adopt and work with a charitable organization addressing mental wellness, because I have grown fond of people experiencing such. I understand them on a higher and deeper level now. I mean, I experienced what it's like being perceived as having this illness, and I went through the processes that they go through and the experiences. So now I know exactly what they are going through. I fully understand what they are going through. And it's honestly sad, unjust, unconstitutional, unethical. And it cannot be tolerated anymore. It cannot be tolerated because it's institutionalized as well. That's how bad it is, guys. Check your doctors, guys. Your reports, whatever they give you, please go through them. They are charging you excessively for stuff you didn't even need from them. There's a lot of things happening. There's a lot of fraud happening out there, guys. There's a lot of, sorry, there's a lot of injustices being committed against innocent people out there. I had to step out of my shell to make people aware that, you know what, you cannot continue with this. I am my own person. I can make my own decisions. And I will not tolerate this anymore. If any of you are going through such, or know of someone who is going through such, and they need, maybe they have slipped into depression, or also having suicidal thoughts or anything like that, please send them my way. It's either send them to a professional or refer them to me. I will try and assist them, guys. Honestly, I will try and assist them. I'm very passionate about motivating people and assisting people. I'm very passionate, guys. I will assist as much as I can. It's sad, honestly. It's very sad, guys. And it's normally the people that you would trust with your life that perpetrate this. It's honestly unbelievable and uncalled for. It is uncalled for. I had to capacitate myself so well that I can even challenge my former psychiatrist to say, please don't do this to other people. You did wrong by me. Don't do it to other people. He was left dumbstruck. I'm telling you, he was dumbfounded. He couldn't believe that I went through so much trouble as to investigate, as if I was a medical student. But I went through that and did this research. Today, all I'm left with is acquiring the service of another psychiatrist and getting a second opinion, which would nullify his initial opinion. It's honestly uncalled for and unfair. I even have to approach HPC, which is the Health Practitioners Council, in order to do away with this illness in my life and possibly take action against the doctor for fraud, for medical fraud. Imagine people will lose their careers, people will lose their jobs because he has stuff. He might possibly be stripped off his license, his doctor's license. He might also be stripped off his qualifications, medical qualifications. Now, all of this, imagine. I mean, going through all of this trouble just for money or whatever reasons that you may give. I mean, nothing justifies messing up another person's life. Nothing justifies that, guys. Hey? At the end of the day, we are all humans, and we must live or coexist peacefully and harmoniously. Your rights as a doctor should not trample upon my rights as an individual. The fact that I consulted with you doesn't mean that you can do as you please with my life. He took away a good 6 to 7 years of my life. He honestly took away 7 years of my life. Lost two jobs. It affected my love life, affected my family life, affected my life all around. Like, it's honestly sad, guys. It's honestly sad. and heartbreaking. I mean, you know, I'm tearing now. I have tears running through my eyes, thinking of what other people who genuinely are experiencing mental illnesses out there are going through. It's sad. It's seriously sad. On a very serious note, guys, it's very sad. What does your conscience tell you as an individual? What does your conscience tell you when you are perpetrating such injustices against other people? Honest individuals out there. Individuals living an honest life out there. What clicks in your mind? I mean, as medical practitioners, are you happy with yourselves destroying people's lives? Are you happy with yourselves? We are supposed to be entrusting our health matters with you. However, trust you me, I do not trust anyone out there. I do not trust any medical practitioners out there because of these experiences. I honestly do not trust them anymore. Whenever I go to a medical facility, I question everything that happens there. I question everything. I don't trust easily now. My curiosity gets the better of me because of past experiences. I will not allow them to play their games with me. I will not allow them. That much I will tell you. I mean, this doctor benefited over 60,000 from me. He benefited greatly. And that was uncalled for. So, yeah, that's me, DJ Bafana, just throwing it out there, my situation. And hopefully, this may also evoke some curiosity in your minds and hopefully spark a public debate to say, why is this happening and what is the root cause and what are the possible solutions to this? As a society, hopefully we can try and find solutions to it. I thank you guys for your time. And catch me on your social streets out there. I'm on Instagram as at @DWEJAY_Bafana. That's at @DWEJAY_Bafana. On Twitter, I am at DJ Bafana. On Facebook, I am at on Facebook. My Facebook page is DJ Bafana. Profile is DWEJAY space Bafana. So that's DJ Bafana. And I have so many, so much content for you guys. I have so many podcasts, so many projects happening there, so you can check out what I'm busy with on all those social media platforms. If you want to book me for my DJ services or other services that I provide, please book me on or contact me on bookings. The email is bookings@626ent.com. bookings@bookings.co.za. I'll repeat the email, bookings@626ent.co.za. My number is 073-630-5071. I will repeat it, 073-630-5071. Thank you so much. Take care. Bye.